Happy Tuesday, everyone. Today is February 23rd, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. Without any further ado, let's get started. In 1874, Major Walter Clopton Winfield patents a game called Sverres Tag, which later becomes known as lawn tennis. In 1906, Tommy Burns beats Marvin Hart in 20 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title. In 1934, Casey Stagnall becomes the manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers. In 1938, Joe Louis retains his world heavyweight boxing title by knocking out Nathan Mann in the third round at Madison Square Garden. In 1939, Lou Thesz beats Everett Marshall in St. Louis to win the National Boxing Association World Heavyweight title for the second time. In 1958, five-time Formula One World Drivers Champion Juan Miguel Fangio is kidnapped by Cuban rebels from Fidel Castro's 26th of July movement. In 1964, the sixth Daytona 500 race winner Richard Petty leads for a record 184 of the 200 laps. In 1968, Wilt Chamberlain becomes the first NBA player to score 25,000 points. In 1969, at the 11th Daytona 500, Leroy Yarborough, driving for Junior Johnson, catches Charlie Glotzbach on the final lap to win. It was the first Daytona 500 won on a last lap pass. In 1971, the Boston Bruins begin a 13-game winning streak in the NHL. In 1980, American speed skater Eric Heiden wins the Olympic 10,000-meter and world record 14:28. He sweeps all five speed skating events at Lake Placid. He's the only athlete to win five gold medals at one Winter Olympic Games. In 1985, Indiana basketball coach Bobby Knight loses his cool and throws a chair on the court during a basketball game. In 1987, Dick Houser retires from managing the Kansas City Royals due to a brain tumor. In 1988, the city of Chicago gives the Cubs the right to install lights and play up to 18 night games. In 1991, the North Carolina Tar Heels men's basketball team becomes the first NCAA basketball team to win 1,500 games. In 1992, the Winter Olympic Games in Albertville, France come to a close. In 1993, the Sacramento Gold Miners are admitted to the CFL as the ninth franchise, but the first U.S. team. In 1994, Indians owner Richard Jacobs announces he will pay $10 million to name the baseball field Jacobs Field, and it becomes official on March 23rd. In 2014, at the 56th Daytona 500, Dale Earnhardt Jr. breaks a 55-race winless streak to win his second Great American Race. Also in 2014, the Canadians win the Olympic ice hockey gold medal with a 3-0 victory over Sweden. It's the first time a team had finished the tournament undefeated since 1984. In 2019, Argentinian soccer star Lionel Messi scores his 50th hat trick of his career as Barcelona wins 4-2 in the Spanish La Liga. Also in 2019, Roy Hodgson overtakes Sir Bobby Robertson as the oldest man to manage a Premier League soccer club when he was 71, 198 days old. And we'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around and welcome to our deep dive segment. Today we're going to look at something that was very politically charged. We're going to be looking at the abduction of arguably one of the greatest Formula One drivers the world has ever seen. Today we're going to look at the abduction of Juan Miguel Fangio of Argentina. President Fulgencio Batista of Cuba established the non-Formula One Cuban Grand Prix in Havana in 1957. Fangio won the 1957 event and had set fastest times during practice for the 1958 race. On February 23, 1958, two gunmen of Fidel Castro's 26th of July movement entered the Hotel Lincoln in Havana and kidnapped Fangio. Batista ordered the race to continue as usual while a crack team of police hunted down the kidnappers. They set up roadblocks at intersections and guards were assigned to private and commercial airports, and guards were also assigned to all competing drivers. Fangio was taken to three separate houses. His captors allowed him to listen to the race via radio and bringing him a television to witness reports of a disastrous crash after the race concluded. That crash saw a Cuban driver named Armando Garcia Cifuentes lose control of his car on an oil-slick part of the street course and plowed into a crowd of onlookers. Seven people were killed and dozens more injured. The crash led to immediate speculation that Castro's followers had sabotaged the course by coating it with oil. However, it was later learned that a broken oil line in a car driven by Argentina's own Roberto Mireles was the cause of the slick spot. In the third house, Fangio was allowed his own bedroom, but became convinced that a guard was standing outside of the bedroom door at all hours. The captors talked about their revolutionary program, which Fangio had not wished to speak about as he did not have any interest in politics. He later said, quote, "Well, this is one more adventure. If what the rebels did was in a good cause, then I, as an Argentinian, accept it," end quote. He was released after 29 hours and remained a good friend of his captors afterwards. The captives' motive were to force the cancellation of the race in an attempt to embarrass the Batista regime. After Fangio was handed over to the Argentinian embassy soon after the race, many Cubans were convinced that Batista was losing his power because he failed to track down the captors. The Cuban Revolution took over the government in January 1959, and the 1959 Cuban Grand Prix was canceled. The Fangio kidnapping was dramatized in a 1999 Argentinian film directed by Alberto Leche. The kidnapping incident occurred at the end of Juan Manuel Fangio's storied career. Fangio was born on June 24, 1911, in Argentina. He quit school at the age of 11 to work as a mechanic's assistant, and as a young man raced, quote, "souped-up passenger cars on the unpaved roads of South America," end quote, according to his 1995 obituary in the New York Times. After modern Formula One racing began in 1950, Fangio collected his first world championship in 1951. He repeated this feat in 1954, 55, 56, and 57. Fangio left racing in 1958, stating that the cars had become too fast and dangerous. According to the Times, the fact that he survived to enjoy his wealth despite racing in an era without seatbelts and fire-retardant uniforms was a credit to his skills, the cars he drove, and no small measure of luck. Fangio died in Buenos Aires at the age of 84 on July 17, 1995. His record of 5 Formula One world titles stood until 2003. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Please don't forget to subscribe however you're listening to us, and follow and like us on all social media. We can be found at Sport History Pod. Again, that's at Sport History Pod. Thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautics for the introduction music, and Laura Robin, our script editor and director. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.